Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Water is wonderful. In its solid state, it can be fun to skate on. It also keeps drinks cold. In the fluffy snowflake state, it's beautiful and a great joy to sled on. In its liquid state, when the temperature's just right, it's fun to splash around in and swim in and float on. Water is essential for life. A vital nutrient to the life of every cell. It first acts as a building material of the cell. Water regulates our internal body temperature by sweating and respiration. Carbohydrates and proteins our bodies use as foods are metabolized and transported by water in the bloodstream. It assists in flushing out the waste. Water acts as a shock absorber for the brain, for the spinal cord, and for a baby in a mother's womb. Water forms saliva. Water lubricates the joints. And that's just a list of few of the wonders of water. You would not be you without water. And without water, there would be no one. One could give a PhD dissertation and only scratch the surface of the wonder of water. There is no doubt that water is a special creative gift from God. So essential for physical life, it makes perfect sense that water plays an essential part of our spiritual life. Since water is essential for baptism, water plays a central role in the church. Baptism is a sacrament of the church. Baptism is sacred. And it is sacred because it is by the command of God that we baptize. As it is written in Matthew 28, Jesus came and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Baptism is sacred because a promise of the living God is given through baptism. As it is written in Mark chapter 16, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Will be saved. Baptized will be saved. It is such a grand promise of eternal life. Water is water by itself. But water by the command of God, with the word of God, becomes sacred. When used in the sacrament of baptism, water with the word of God is life-giving water, which by grace gives the new birth through the Holy Spirit, as is written in John chapter 3. Jesus answered Nicodemus, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Sacred. Sacred are the benefits through the baptismal waters. In baptism, God forgives sin, delivers from death and the devil, and gives everlasting salvation to all who believe what he has promised. Baptism is not optional. It is not some extra nice thing we do as church. Baptism was commanded to us by God. The church, by the living God, is commanded to make disciples and to baptize in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Mark chapter 1 tells us about Jesus' baptism. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn apart and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And then a voice came from heaven. "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." With this grand and glorious moment, the triune nature of God is revealed. The Father's voice, the Son stepping out of the water, the Spirit descending from heaven. For many of us, ingrained in our minds is the images of Hollywood movies. These images all depict Jesus being dunked under the water. In other words, Jesus was immersed. As a result of the image of immersion, which is so fills Hollywood movies, when baptism is spoken about, immersion comes to people's minds. Now, let's contrast this with artists from hundreds of years ago. Classical portraits of the baptism of Jesus. If you would look at those classical paintings of Jesus' baptism, you will find something very different. In the classical paintings, John the Baptist is pouring water over Jesus' head. They do not portray immersion to a great extent. What they portray over and over again is water being poured over the head of Jesus. I share this with you because there's an argument out there between immersion and sprinkling. Immersion or pouring over the head. And it's very common. But I say to you that focusing on the amount of water takes your eyes off of the Word of God, which is much, much of greater importance. For when you focus on the water, the conversation may go in many directions, many different ways. Now, to illustrate this with absurdity, if the amount of water matters, shall we also declare the water should be a comfortable 82 degrees? Or, if the amount of water matters, should we say the water needs to be an invigorating 60 degrees to really wake the person up? Or should the water be set to match a mother's womb to really emphasize the being born again? Does the water need to be flowing water like a stream or a river? Or can it be standing water like a pond? What happens if the water is muddy? Or does it need to be crystal clear? Or can water be a swimming pool? Or does too much chlorine negate the event? As you can see, that is absurd. We are to focus on the Word of God and the promise of God. Water is water, but water with the Word of God is life-giving water that brings the new birth. Set your eyes, set your heart on the Word of God. That includes the promises of God. It is written in Titus 3. He saved us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, which he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying. In the waters of baptism, because the name of God is there, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, something far greater than getting physically wet happens. There is a change in you, fundamental change in you. Romans chapter 6 describes the changed. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. In the waters of baptism with the word of God, your old life died. And with Christ, out of those waters, you rose to new life. The old self is gone. All the sin is gone. You are forgiven. And as Christ was raised to eternal life, you have eternal life. Through the waters of baptism, the old way of life is put to death. The way of sin and rebellion dies. The way of loving obedience rises in that new life. You are set free from the bondage of sin. You are set free from the kingdom of darkness and death. You are set free from the bondage to the evil devil. And you are brought into the kingdom of the Son of God. You are a new creation, a new life. You are now a child of God. Everything has changed. Everything about you has changed. You are rescued. You are ransomed. You are redeemed. The past is behind you. Your sins are forgiven. You are declared righteous in the eyes of God for Christ's sake. Baptism is so much more than an external sign for others to see. Baptism is an internal change of heart and soul. Baptism is an eternal change of your heart and soul. Baptism is a comfort for your soul. To really emphasize that it's about the Word of God. Water with the Word of God is what's important. Not the amount of water, not the water, what it's like. But it's water with the Word of God. And it's the Word of God we are to focus on. I illustrate it this way. Imagine an old man. This old man is lying on his deathbed. He's been a scoundrel all of his life. But now, knowing the time is coming to close, he will die soon. He calls for a pastor to come. The scoundrel was known by all in the town as a mean, wicked, vile man. The pastor comes as he's called for. Entering the room, a disheveled old man, broken by the years, is almost wasted away. In a weak voice, ever so slightly, as the pastor approaches him, he says, "Thank you for coming. I would like to get right with God. I'm sorry. Tell me about Jesus. Can I be forgiven? Can I be baptized?" With gentleness and compassion, the pastor shares Christ. He shares Christ came for the lost. Christ came for the broken, the forsaken, the vile, the wicked. And with a glint of a tear in the pastor's eyes and tears gently streaming down the old man's cheek, the old man says with trembling lips, "Jesus, have mercy on me. Forgive me." And turning to look in the pastor's eyes, the old man says, "Pastor, baptize me." Now, the body of this old man is broken, very old and weak and wasted away. He can't be moved. Lift him out of his bed? That's out of the question. There's no way to immerse him the way you've always done. Does the pastor say, "Sorry, old man, you can't be moved? You can't be baptized because you can't be immersed"? With a quaking in his heart, the pastor learns a lesson. Calling for some water to be brought to him, he prepares to baptize the old man. Ever so gently, the pastor dips his hand in the bowl of water brought to him, and gently wetting the man's forehead, "I baptize you in the name of the Father." Wetting his hand again to the forehead, and of the Son. And the pastor gets his hand wet a third time and gently pushes the water across the man's forehead into his hair, and of the Holy Spirit. Such a peace overtakes the old man. Eyes in the room from watching the tender moment of the old man's baptism are red from tears gently flowing down their cheeks as the water gently touched the old man's forehead and ran through the old man's messed up hair. Tears, recognizing the power of God present in the room. The power of God's word with the water. Tears from eyes witnessing the compassion of the living God. As the word of God does its work in this vile, old, wicked man. As the word of God does its work through the water of baptism. Peace comes. Hope comes. Eternal life is there. The old man, he's not afraid to die anymore. He's now a child of God. Another soul is redeemed. Amen.